is First Friday Somewhere.
That's a big sense of freedom.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you here on a Monday edition. National championship game tonight. It's the one most people predicted it would be. Gonzaga and Baylor going at 9:20 tonight. For some perspective on this, we head out on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Iman Brennan joins us, our good buddy from The Athletic. Iman, thanks so much for taking the time. Well, this is what the doctor wanted, right? You want two Goliath teams. It's been the two best teams all year, different paths to get here. And certainly before we get into this matchup, we have to discuss what happened on Saturday night with Gonzaga. And it was as cool a finish as I can remember. I don't know that if it had as much at stake, certainly, as the Leitner shot, because you're going to go to overtime if he misses the shot. But just the way that it was able to play through without timeouts, the flow of the game was so beautiful. To me, I just enjoyed the heck out of it. What was your view of what happened Saturday night?
Yeah, it was gratitude. You know, it was like, I hate harping on this, but, you know, there was no tournament last year. And so the opportunity cost of whatever buzzer beater, whatever kid, you know, 19-year-old kid would be living out his backyard driveway hoop dreams, all that stuff is gone, and it's maudlin. But that was the thing that I thought of when Jalen Suggs made that shot, when he was in his post-game press conference talking about it and barely being even able to put into words what he had done. That was the thing he kept returning to. It was just like, I've just been dreaming about this my whole life, and I just did it. And, you know, a big part of that, I think, and this is the column that I wrote after the game, was sort of in gratitude to UCLA for playing, you know, being one half of one of the best games, you know, NCAA tournament games, certainly Final Four games that I've ever seen, and performing at a level where, you know, they really pushed a team that I think is historically good in Gonzaga to the absolute limit. And they did it in a way that was like old school mid-range jumpers, one after the other, after the other, after the other. You know, Gonzaga is a good defensive team. We saw that coming in. You know, they're not slouch. They're no slouches defensively. And UCLA hung 90 on them and pushed Gonzaga to the absolute limit, not only needing a buzzer beater, but needing a really, really good offensive night on the other end. And UCLA wouldn't go away. Gonzaga couldn't get any separation. It was just a completely ridiculous, remarkable performance from a team that, coming into the tournament, you would have had no inclination they could do that. But by the time they did it, I think you know, after the UCLA games, after the Alabama game and the Michigan game, you would have had a little bit of suspicion that they could, and they elevated themselves even more. And it was just, you know, it's one of those things that I'm going to try and remember as someone who covers the sport, and not just have UCLA be the team that had a buzzer beater go in, because that's how good they were.
Yeah, Iman, Bo and I were talking about earlier in this show how we feel we came to the conclusion that the NCAA won big with this tournament, right? You got the Cinderella upsets early on, but at the end of the day, you got the two teams that I would say most analysts had in the title game, with Gonzaga going for the perfect season over a Baylor team that, with besides the COVID, you know, losses that you could blame it on, right? Coming back from that stretch, they've looked unbelievably impressive this tournament. Do you agree there that the tournament, basically the NCAA, got kind of the best of both worlds there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this is kind of always it's a, I don't know if it's a cliche, but it's kind of the ideal scenario in any season, is that you want upsets early and then you want the best team to play late. And, you know, it doesn't have to be four number one seeds in the Final Four every year, and we very rarely get that. One of the great things about college basketball is that it's not Alabama Clemson every year. You know, before Saturday, I wrote a column about how, you know, nice season UCLA, nice season Houston, but can we please have Gonzaga Baylor? And, you know, some Houston fans particularly, not even UCLA, I think UCLA fans understood where that was coming from, but the Houston fans were like, hey, wait a second, you know, screw you, guy. And the point is, like, you know, I want to see, in this season especially, these two teams. It's all, you know, Houston's had a great season, top 10 team all year. And any other normal season, you get that in the Final Four. You know, think about Virginia, Texas Tech. Like, Texas Tech was a three seed, a really good team. That was a great national title game. But we didn't have in that year, you know, in the same way that we do this year, two teams that are clearly above and beyond everybody else. Baylor has been all year, like you mentioned, except for missing 21 days and coming back with flat legs. and needing about 3 weeks to get really back up to speed, which they've kind of been doing in the tournament. Baylor has been 1B to Gonzaga's 1A all year, and that Gonzaga team is unbeaten. And they're putting up historically good efficiency numbers. And, I mean, people have seen in the tournament now on this run how good they're. Like, if anybody had any lingering doubts, they've completely dispelled that during the tournament. And this season, above all, I think the level of these top two teams is higher above the rest of the field than it normally is. And so, yeah, we normally don't get that in college basketball. We normally don't get Alabama Clemson, and the sport is better for it. But it is nice when it does occasionally happen, particularly in a year when the top two teams are so good.
You hit on something there that I think is really important in as we judge these teams historically, because I think it's really difficult in college basketball because the game has changed so much. If you think about the last teams that were, you know, undefeated, that Kentucky team that was just full of one and dones in 2015 that had a little bit of veteran guys but just an historically great class, of course, as Cal did, or even the UNLV team in 91, that all those guys came back. Larry Johnson was a senior. Stacey Ogman was a senior. Like, they didn't have to come back. They did, but they were seniors. Like, this Gonzaga team was built kind of in the best of both worlds. They have 31-0. They're undefeated. Historical margins of victory, and then judged against their peers. The idea that it's Baylor standing in front of them, I'm not ready to say they're the greatest team of all time, because I think that's impossible the way that the game has changed. But based on their peers, they do have a chance to do that tonight, don't they, in terms of separating from everybody else that they're playing against? When Baylor is the opponent, it almost feels like it had to be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like, I think it was remarkable yesterday when Mark Few said in his press conference that they've prepped for Baylor. And during the tournament, they've done a little prep on Baylor because they were so convinced they were going to get to the end of the year and Baylor was going to be there too. And he said it himself. We figured if we wanted to win this thing, we'd have to go through them eventually. And that's, coaches do not say that stuff. They really do not say that in the NCAA tournament. Like, Baylor's on the other side of the bracket. The odds of them getting there, even as good as they were what, like 15, 20%? You know, like, crazy stuff happens all the time. So, yeah, I do think there is some of that, like, having Baylor in the national title game elevates Gonzaga. You know, think about if Gonzaga had gone and played UCLA and say the game wasn't as good as it was, and they just won by 15, and then they came up against a number 8 seed like Loyola Chicago. Really, really good team. But, you know, would people look back on their tournament run and give them as much credit as they deserve? No. So I think it's good that they're playing Baylor, absolutely. But I think it's particularly interesting with what you said about sort of comparing eras. It's really, really hard. You know, do I think this team would beat 1975, 1976 Indiana? I have no idea. Like, do I think they beat Georgetown with Patrick Ewing? I don't know. But in the modern era of college basketball, in the, you want to say, top, you know, last 10 years, post one and done, last 15 years, they have absolutely have a chance to write themselves as the greatest team of that era and maybe a little bit longer, too.
So who do you think wins tonight? And are you cheering for Gonzaga like my co-host here? He wants to see history. And
I want to see history,
them.
Man.
I agree with them. I want to see something new, you know, that hasn't been done. I obviously was not around for the Indiana undefeated season. So where are you at? Are you rooting for history where you want to see it? And then who do you think is going to win? And those things could obviously be the same.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm rooting for it just because having covered Baylor closely too, like, that's an awfully good team too. They won't have the historic, unbeaten record, and it'll be a different situation if they're to come through. But that, you know, that's a team that last year was just as good or just about as good and had the tournament canceled. And for a school like Baylor, kind of where their basketball program is, you know, it's not Kansas nor North Carolina or Duke or whatever. You don't just re-up next year every time. And these guys did and came right back. And so, look, if they win, they'll be deserving. I think Mark Few will be the first to shake Scott Drew's hand and understand that Baylor was a great team as well. I personally think Gonzaga will win. I think they'll win by, you know, a bucket or two, depending on how the last couple possessions, maybe a couple free throws shake out. But I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be back and forth. I think both teams will make runs because both teams have all season. Gonzaga's going to have to make shots early. I think Baylor will have a period in the game where they rattle off 10, 12 straight points, get a couple stops, get a couple turnovers. And the matchup to watch, beyond Drew Timmy and him sort of taking on a whole raft of Baylor's bigs, is Jalen Suggs and Davion Mitchell. Jalen Suggs, probably the best point guard in the country, certainly the best point guard prospect in the country. Everyone knows what his deal is now. And Davion Mitchell, whose nickname is Off Night, which is the best college basketball nickname in like a decade, because that is what he does to opposing guards. And he is the best defender in college basketball. He's turned his offensive game into a real weapon. He's quicker than just about anybody on the court. And I don't know whether or not he's quicker than Jalen Suggs. It's going to be fascinating. I can't wait. Waited a long time for this one. Cannot wait for it anymore.
Yeah, us too, man. Thanks for your time and your time throughout the tournament and throughout the basketball season. Appreciate you, bud.
Happy to do it. Enjoy tonight, guys.
All right, very good. Iman Brennan joining us, college basketball writer for The Athletic, one of the very best in the business.